hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
This is Spirit 88.3 FM, the program. It's Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and it's always a privilege, and I thank God for another weekend. You know, we normally don't value the gift of life sometimes, but, you know, today, what can you see? A lot of funerals all over the place, and you ask yourself, see, so if we have life, we should value it. We should thank God for the gift of life. This morning, a friend sent me a message that the mom passed on this morning. And, you know, you see people are dying and you haven't even been to hospital the whole year, maybe even more than a year. And you just take it for granted. No, it's not the food you are eating. It's not the exercise you are doing. It's not how careful you are, you know, because there are people who are richer than you, who are eating better food, who are gym instructors, I mean, die. People who are healthy sportsmen or four people can collapse on the field and die. So, you see, it's not about how well we... Of course, we don't have to lose our guard. We don't have to, you know, just live carelessly. But ultimately, it is God who keeps us. And we always have to thank God for the gift of life. Okay, so we thank God for tonight, and the digital parenting started last week. Tonight I'm continuing, and if you are feeling sleepy, maybe you may, as we used to do in school, put your leg in water or whatever you do to survive the night. But you can still get it recorded from our website, spiritissues.info, and those also in Telegram group, you can get it from there as well. Spirit Issues on Telegram. And it's quite interesting. Tonight's own, don't miss it. It's quite detailed, from the spiritual angle to the educational angle and all. I believe God would let you learn something, because the age we are in is not an ordinary period. I mean, we are confronted by all the forces that the devil is marshalling to attack the body of Christ. And as Christians, we should not be ignorant of his devices. It's very worrying when Christians seem to be so ignorant of the devil's devices and we just lose our guard. And I believe programs like these would enlighten and help you to know. And this edition is actually the series that I'm on, the digital parenting. Initial stages, I'm alone, and then in the course of it, in some of the topics, I'll have some people join, some by internet, because from the US, some by phone, and maybe in-house as well and all. So it's quite a loaded series, I believe, we'll be having. And it's not just for parents. It's for ourselves. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a parent or not. There's something in for you to also grasp. Because you, the parent, should learn before you can impart it to or use it to influence your children. And I believe tonight's edition will not be different from what we are working on in terms of how to learn these things. But first, I'll kick off with the news, events happening, a lot of things happening in the world. The reason why I bring these things to your attention is that for us to understand the state of the world and what is happening, and I keep saying that in our side in Ghana, you can easily be caught off guard and think nothing is happening. I mean, especially for those who don't have time for foreign news or read online and all that. So there are many who have no idea what is happening in the world. For such, you think a little events we have here and back and forth, political issues and all, is all there is that there is to life. So there are some who think, well, I mean, this in Ghana, nothing much is happening, NPP, NDC, and then the sports, and, you know, they are just stuck in that limited information. But a lot is happening in the world. A whole lot is happening in the world. And that's why I bring this aspect for us to sometimes see how you can have a whole lot of things, Bible prophecies, happening in a week. So many things happening, just to let us know the times we live in. All right, so let me first start by getting into the news and go on from there. Philippines rocked by a powerful magnitude 6.6 earthquake, and that was today. Earlier in the week, there was also huge magnitude 7.0 earthquake strikes off the coast of Panama. Okay, earthquakes in diverse places, as Jesus talked about. See, and you realize that it's not just one event happens and then it takes a long time before another event happens. We are having a situation where all the things that the Bible prophecies Jesus talked about and other ones that Paul talked about, 2 Timothy and all that, we are having things just unfolding at the same time. So you have a package. So it's a full picture. If you can understand and appreciate the state of the world, then you can understand the states where we are spiritually. India monsoon season is on, and rescuers search for survivors after heavy rains. And take note of this news, where you have rescuers are scouring devastated parts of western India for survivors after heavy rains caused deadly floods. Tens of thousands of people have been moved out of the affected areas, with record-breaking rainfall reported along parts of the coast. And it cuts across last week, the Europe floods and all, and you keep record-breaking. The temperatures, the heat in Europe, US, and other parts of Russia, and all, record-breaking. You see, something is happening in the world. Something is happening in the world. The next one, China floods, 12 dead in Zhengzhou train, and thousands evacuated in Henan. 12 people have died after record-breaking rainfall. Another record-breaking rainfall flooded underground railway tunnels in China, leaving passengers trapped in rising waters. And seriously, when you see some of the pictures and videos, it's scary. I mean, underground railway system, and you're in a train and the water is rising, some to the neck level, and in one particular train, whole coach, people died. The whole place was, the whole thing flooded, so they all drowned. 12 people died in there and all. Video shared on social media shows evening commuters just managing to keep their necks above water. Water is being seen rushing onto platforms. More than 500 people were eventually rescued from the tunnels in Henan province, officials said. And days of rain have caused widespread damage and led to 200,000 evacuations. Something is not right with the world. Then the next one, also says the next news item is summer of disaster. Extreme weather wreaks havoc worldwide as climate change bears down. Scientists and environmental activists are in a race to persuade the world to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by enough to prevent global temperatures from rising more than 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit above the pre-industrial levels. Failure to do so could result in massive disruptions such as famine and widespread coastal flooding. Time is short. Global temperatures have already risen on average by 2.16 degrees Fahrenheit since 1880. Last week, the European Union proposed sweeping legislation aimed at cutting emissions by more than half by 1990 levels by the year 2030 through the phasing out of gasoline and diesel cars and the imposition of tariffs on imports from polluting countries. The plan poses formidable challenges for the 27-country bloc, including trade tensions and the political backlash from those who deny climate change is happening. Scientists say global warming almost certainly exacerbated the conditions for the floods that ravaged Germany, Belgium, and Netherlands last week, killing at least 180 people. Parts of Western Europe were battered by 2 months' worth of rain in 2 days. Whoa. Leading to overflowing rivers and torrents of flood water that toppled centuries-old buildings and saturated farmland that collapsed into giant sinkholes of churned earth, and on and on. The question is, in the days of Noah, was there climate change? You know, you see, so when scientists want to pass the blame on these things onto climate change, many centuries back, records of heavy rains, destructive rains, where there were far less technology than we have now, was it climate change? You see, so they just want to pass the blame onto something. But the issue is they should get ready. We've not seen anything yet. They should go and read the book of Revelations, and they will see that greater things are coming. That one too, they should blame climate change for it. You see, the state of the world now, the truth is, as Christians, we should understand what is happening. Of course, the scientists will always have to justify why they are being paid as professors in the universities and science research institutes. So they have to issue some papers. They have to say something. But you and I should know that this is God at work. I mean, pure and simple. Okay, so the next one, wildfires have erupted. This is the first one I read was part of Yahoo News. This I'm now reading CNN News, part of it says, wildfires have erupted across the globe, scorching places that rarely burned before. Yakutsk in Russia, Siberia, that's the name, Yakutsk in Russia, Siberia, is known as the world's coldest city. In a place where even an exposed nose during the winter months can cause biting pain, people are accustomed to taking precautions against freezing temperatures, including spending extra time in the morning to dress in many layers. But now the city is blanketed in haze as nearby wildfires tear through forests that have been parched by weeks of heat waves. The fires are so big and the winds strong. Smoke is traveling as far away as Alaska in the U.S. In the U.S., the bootleg wildfire in Oregon has grown into a monstrous complex with its own weather, sending the dense smoke some 3,000 miles across one end of the continent to the other. New York City on Wednesday woke up to an intense red sunrise and the smell of wildfires and thick brown haze. Firefighters in both countries, as well as British Columbia and Canada, are fighting a near-impossible battle to smother the infernos with water bombs and hoses and preventing their spread by digging fire breaks. Something is not right because, you see, at the beginning of the year, I heard one prophet, for instance, give a prophecy that God is going to bring these fires. This was 1st January. 2021, we are going to have these fires and then extreme water as part of God's judgments on some nations. That's a wake-up call. So you see, if a prophet says this 1st January, and it is now happening, exactly as he said it, and you hear scientists trying to blame climate change, that's why I say we Christians should understand what is happening. So it's not about, this is not climate change. Of course, scientifically, they will find something to pass it on to. But we know, we should know that this is God's signature, exactly that is happening. You know, last week I gave you the analysis of Germany, Belgium, and what they are doing to Hungary and Portugal. Clearly, it's a judgment of God on this LGBT thing, that's because of that they are punishing Hungary and all that. You see, God sends signals, God warns nations, God moves. We shouldn't think that God still doesn't show interest in the affairs of nations. He still does. Then the next one, apocalyptic drought in western U.S. is causing unprecedented widespread crop failures on a massive scale. You know, last year, if you remember, in the course of the program, I mentioned some of these things, that food crisis, even this year I've talked that food crisis is coming in the world and all, the U.S. and all, some of the warnings, prophetic warnings and all. Last week I was having a chat with a friend in Texas, and she was telling me that the previous week she went to buy groceries for just less than 2 weeks, barely 2 weeks grocery shopping, and she spent $700. And she said that's the highest. It's like inflation and shortage of food, some items, so prices are just skyrocketing. She said she's never spent $700 for 2 weeks shopping, grocery shopping before. And so I sent her some of the links on the news and all that. You see, things are happening. Things are happening. Talk to anyone in the U.S., and if the person is sincere, will tell you that cost of food is going up in the U.S. Yeah, cost of food and cost of living is going up. Let me read a portion of this report. It says, at a time when food prices are already rising aggressively, agricultural production in the U.S. is being absolutely devastated by a drought that many are calling the worst in American history. At a time when food prices are already rising aggressively, record high temperatures in Pacific Northwest and other parts of the West Coast, along with prolonged droughts in those areas and the upper Midwest, are stressing crops and livestock and raising concerns about irrigation supplies as conditions persist. The U.S. Drought Monitor, as of July 13, showed 100% of all states west of the Rocky Mountains and most of the upper Midwest region in some level of drought. California, Oregon, Arizona, Idaho, Utah, and North Dakota were nearly 100% severe droughts or west with extreme and exceptional, the most severe. Then Washington, Montana, South Dakota, Minnesota, New Mexico, most of Wyoming, and West Colorado all were in moderate or worse drought. 2020 was a bad year, but at this time last year, only about 20% of the West was experiencing severe drought. Today, that number is up to 80%. Nearly 80% of the West, including North and South Dakota, is in severe drought. That percentage is even more staggering when compared to 20% of the region that fell into a severe drought range this time last year. Let that number sink in for a moment. This is a historic disaster of epic proportions, and it is starting to have a dramatic impact on agricultural production. For example, the amount of spring wheat is projected to be 41% below the level that we witnessed in 2020. For thousands upon thousands of U.S. farmers, 2021 is going to be an absolutely disastrous year with very little production at all. At one farm in Minnesota, the owner is estimating that he will not be able to harvest hardly anything from the 2,500 acres of corn that he planted. That is serious. You plant 2,500 acres and you are not going to barely going to harvest anything. That's a serious issue, you see. And let's come to Ghana this week. For those who follow some of the business and agricultural news, prices of food stocks are going up. And, you know, I heard some market women saying they have to import corn from some places outside and all that. You see, something is just not right. Things are happening, you know. So when you bring everything into the picture, you can have a better understanding of the states of the world. Things are getting more expensive. Cost of living is going up gradually. You know, for instance, you know, there's a shortage. There's a current shortage of shipping container or freight container, shipping containers. A lot were moved from the Asias to the rest of the world during last year. And there's been less shipment from the rest of the world into China this year. So there's a serious shortage. So now freight from Asia, especially China, into even Ghana, sometimes you have to pay extra $4,000 on a 40-footer container. Extra. And of course, business people are not NGOs. They are not Father Christmas. So they are going to $4,000, that's 24,000 Ghana cedis. So that they'll have to pass on this extra cost onto us on items. So if for those who go to, you buy things, you realize things are going up. And these are some of the reasons. And, you know, there's the shortage of semiconductor chips. And these are used in cars and a lot of devices, computers and all. This week, someone wanted to buy an HP computer from the US. So I was checking it for her. And the HP website, I went there. And if she is to place an order, it can be ready in a month's time. Because of the shortage of the conductor chips I'm talking about, it's affecting car production. I mean, something is happening that is affecting the supply chain of businesses and things in the world. So it's pushing the economies overboard, you know. So we should understand these things and know how to, you know, live wisely. Let me put it that way. Okay, so the next news says Netflix star of that's the program is 13 Reasons Why, now identifying as transgender woman. Tommy Dorfman, an actor known for starring in Netflix drama 13 Reasons Why, came out this week as a transgender female. The 29-year-old celebrity, born a biological male, now identifies as a woman. Dorfman, who revealed the transition during the interview with Time, has been using the pronoun she and her over the past year. And then, quote, says, "I view today as a reintroduction to me as a woman, having made a transition medically," unquote, the actor said. "Coming out is always viewed as this grand reveal, but I was never not out. Today is about clarity. I am a trans woman," unquote. The 13 Reasons Why star chose to wait until having medical work done to come out publicly as transgender, stating an initial unease at the idea of making a formal announcement before undergoing reassignment surgery. Nevertheless, Dorfman documented the shifts on Instagram. Quote, "I recognize that transitioning is beautiful," unquote, the celebrity said. "Why not let the world see what looks like?" So I kept on Instagram a diaristic time capsule instead, one that shows a body living in a more fluid space. And this transgender thing is getting out of hand. So it's not surprising that Ghana MPs are trying to do something. I'll get to that news later on. The next one, judge rules that 11-year-old transgender runner must be allowed to compete on girls' team despite West Virginia ban. So Becky Pepe Jackson is a biological male, but nevertheless must be allowed to compete on the girls' cross-country team, a judge said. West Virginia is one of several states in which lawmakers have passed legislation blocking biological males from participating in women's athletics. Even still, U.S. Circuit Judge Joseph R. Godwin issued a preliminary injunction on Wednesday, allowing Pepper Jackson, a middle schooler, to sign up for and participate in school athletics in the same way as her girl classmates. According to the Daily Caller, Goodwin's decision allows Pepper Jackson to try out for the girls' team. It's now guaranteed, though the 11-year-old student will make the squad. It's not guaranteed, sorry. Though the 11-year-old, and another one says, quote, a fear of the unknown and discomfort with the unfamiliar have motivated many of the most malignant harms committed by our country's governments on their own citizens, unquote, according to the judge. Out of fear of those less like them, the powerful have made laws that restricted who could attend what schools, who could work certain jobs, and who could marry whom, and even how people can practice their religions, unquote. At this point, I have been provided with scant evidence that this law addresses any problems at all, let alone an important problem, the judge continued, referring to HB 3293, the law protecting female sports. When the government distinguishes between different groups of people, these distinctions must be supported by compelling reasons. So where lies common sense? Common sense is missing in our world today, largely. Because, I mean, it just doesn't make sense again. Girls are running, and then you say, I'm a boy, but I am a girl, so I want to join the girls. I mean, common sense tells us that biologically, males have an advantage. That's why if you look at virtually all sports, the time, so if you look at 100 meters, the time, the records for men is faster than the one for ladies. You look at a whole lot of, I mean, it just cuts across because men have advantage with strength and their body, psyche and all that. So if a man now wants to win awards and sees that I can't compete with other men, but if I join the girls, I have an advantage. Okay, I'm a girl. And now we have a system where some call themselves fluid, whatever. So today I can be a boy, tomorrow I'm a girl. The next day I'm a what? Tomorrow I'm a what? It's like this is the state of the world. This is the state of the world. And it's becoming more serious because laws are being passed in some places to even boost, give them the boost and the encouragement. Personally, if I'm a parent to any of these girls that these so-called boys want to compete with, I'll just tell my girls, come out, don't compete. Let the boys alone run as girls. And that should be, because, I mean, but you know, we are in a state where now, if these same, all these girls say that they will not compete, you see what the media will jump on. Hey, they are homophobic. They are this, they are that. And now the pressure will rather turn on them for standing their ground, for being cheated, because it's not fair. But this is the new woke world, as they call it. The world is now woke. And, you know, nothing makes sense again. I mean, sometimes, you know, Pastor Roger sends me, we exchange news. I mean, he sees it. If I see, I send. If he sees, he says it. It's like sometimes you see some things and your mind is, you just can't comprehend what is happening. Today he sent me one of such, actually I think maybe that's the next news item. And no, this world, yeah, coincidentally that's the next news item. This headline says, I was sexually assaulted in women's prison by a fellow inmate with male genitalia. And let me just read a portion of it. That is okay for radio. The prisoner who sexually assaulted Amy, we cannot legally identify her, so we call her J, and that's a transgender woman with a gender recognition certificate. They call it GRC, gender recognition certificate. You know, let me pause and say something. Do me a Ben here with my bald head, skin head, if I'm working, do I need a certificate to show that I'm a man? I mean, I don't, because I'm a man. My beard, mustache, I'm a man. I don't need any certificate to prove what I am or who I am. But these people need to be showing certificates to justify what they claim to be or what they feel like they are. I mean, when God gave birth to you, you are giving birth to, the certificates that you are given at the hospital, male, female, that is it. Everybody, so you are known as that gender. Now, fast forward, the wise generation, the generation that thinks they are wiser than God, says that no, this earlier certificate given at the hospital upon giving birth, being born, being given birth to, is no longer valid. Now a new one should be recreated based on your feelings and your choice in life. So they call it gender recognition certificate. You see, they are just seeking recognition. Why do I have to seek recognition when you should be known? You should be known if you are male or female. Obvious. And so, let me continue. So the GRC, so he has a GRC, so therefore referred to by a female pronoun, but still had male genitalia. So you are still a man. No? This person is still a man, and yet holding a certificate but that I am a female. Amy was equally well aware that G, that's the transgender, still had male genitalia because she often intimidated her and fellow male female prisoners at the HMP Bronzefield in Ashford, Middlesex, by exposing them. And then, that's Ashford, Middlesex in the UK. Yeah. So, moreover, I was serving time for J was serving time for serious sexual assault on a child and was clearly a danger to other inmates. Yet she had secured a coveted job as a cleaner at a prison gym where Amy also worked. And it was while she was in the gym's lavatory block that Jay assaulted her in 2017. So the case is now out. And what were the officers even thinking? Letting her clean toilets in which women would be in a state of undress and alone. Why was there a child sex offender with male genitalia cleaning toilets of the gym in women's prison? It doesn't make sense. You know, and then, so eventually, this so-called lady guy virtually raped this woman in prison. As of March 2019, there were 34 transgender women without GRCs allocated to a woman's prison. The number of transgender prisoners with a certificate, of which J is one, is thought to be in single figures across the prison population as a whole. Male-born trans prisoners were first allowed to request a transfer to women's jails in England and Wales in 2016. Just a year later, the risks of the policy were made clear when a convicted rapist was moved to a women's jail, HMP, Newhall in Wakefield, and then sexually assaulted two women inmates. Karen White identified as a woman, but was still legally a man and had not undergone surgery. She was jailed for life in 2018 by a judge who branded her a highly manipulative predator. Despite the history of such assaults, this month, the court decided that ultimately the rights of trans women trumped the concerns of natal female prisoners. So for Amy, who was given legal aid to pursue the case, from which she did not benefit financially, the ruling is profoundly unjust. Contending that the law needs to be changed, she says the equation is a simple one. Quote, if a trans woman is in for violence against women or sex offenses against women or children, you should not be in prison with women. And this is common sense. Trans women prisoners were already housed at Bronzefield when Amy arrived there, soon after the law was changed to accommodate them in female prisons. It says, I was a bit shocked because I knew they were sex offenders. An officer told me that off record. She says the other women in prison who knew were in shock and angry too. You know, this is, and it will amaze you that judges are condoning and allowing this to happen. No, it's as if there is a wind. I keep telling some friends that it's like a wind of madness is blowing upon the surface of the earth. A wind of madness. Because a lot of things I mean, so you see a man, the body, muscles, everything, a man, and yet you, a judge, you say that the man says I'm a woman, and the judge also says, okay, you say you're a woman, so go to a woman's prison. I mean, what's wrong with us in this world now? What is wrong with the world? It's something clearly points to the fact that iniquity is abounding, lawlessness is on the ascendancy. And, you know, it is the state of the world now that should let we Christians get closer to God and be more serious with our faith. Because clearly it should tell us that the Bible we read is true. The God that we serve is indeed the living God. Because his word foretells of these abominations, if you read Romans chapter 1, it's clearly stated there. And we are seeing these things in increasing numbers. We are seeing it in increasing numbers, and the society is accepting it. Laws are supporting them. Obviously, it should tell us that we have to serve our God more seriously. But, you know, when the worldly people are misbehaving, well, it's not much of a problem. It's a problem, but not much of, you know, a problem in terms of they are expected to do so. They are worldly. They have no, they are not saved. They don't know Christ. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. But when you hear a church is also misbehaving, then that is what even becomes more worrying. So in Norway, Norwegian church holds name change ceremony to celebrate transgender person. I mean, when I saw it, actually, I had almost finished my news, and then I saw it. I was like, ah, I mean, come on, what's wrong with us? Oslo, Norway, and today's news, today's 21st July. A Lutheran church in Norway recently hosted a celebration for a gender-confused man. I like the way they have put it in Lifesize News. I like the way they say the truth as it is. So the YouTube has blocked them. Facebook too has kicked them out. You know, because the truth is now hated by these big tech companies. So they say it as it is. Gender-confused man, which is reported the first such event in a place of worship in the country. Ellen Stillingen is a 49-year-old man who believes he is a woman and legally had his name and gender changed, according to Associated Press on July 17. The medieval Hof Church in Oslo, Norway, held a name-changing ceremony for him, affirming his delusion. Before the ceremony, Stillingen told Norwegian broadcaster TV2, quote, I'm a member of the Norwegian church and I'm also about to come out of the closet as a Christian. So this ceremony is important to me, unquote. In Genesis 5:2, the Dalrymple's version of the Bible clearly states, he created them male and female and blessed them. Even the Lutheran version of the Bible states the same thing, with slightly different wording, reading. He made him in the image of God and created them male and female and blessed them, unquote. Despite this, the celebration was organized by Lutheran pastor Sten Olsen along with the Stephen Foundation, a Norwegian LGBT activist organization. Quote, I know that so many are grateful that this event has come true. Grateful. Because this goes deep into the lives of people, unquote, Ovison said, also admitting that some people oppose the events. On the conservative wing, you will find priests who are deeply concerned about what we do today. But for me, this is an important act that expresses the grace. The grace and openness that God shows me, unquote, he continued. After the ceremony, Stillington stated, it feels very right, and I'm very, very happy, unquote. These places are now synagogues of Satan. They are not churches again. Because, you see, the abuse of grace, the misunderstanding of grace. You know, last week, for those on my broadcast list, I sent you this flyer of this pastor, I think, in Nigeria, you know, saying that fornication is not a sin. You know, when I saw it, one of our listeners sent it to me. I thought maybe Photoshop, you know. So I went to YouTube to look for it, and I listened the first 10 minutes and I couldn't again. I had to stop because my mind just couldn't comprehend that this is a pastor and quoting Bible and justifying that fornication, sex before marriage is not a sin, and even going ahead to teach how you can even, yes, still fornicate and not have curses and all those things. And I mean, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And when I just went through the comments on YouTube, people are lost. No. I mean, people are excited. And you see, so why wouldn't there be fornication among the youth? If is it such a church, of course, the youth will just flood the place because, I mean, free life, you can sin anyhow. Grace is being misinterpreted and being translated wrongly. It's being whatever word you use for it. And this is exactly what this church is also doing. I mean, is it this pastor thinks because of the grace of God, this is allowed and God permits it? I mean, how can God permit this? How? God created you a man and you say now you have money and you don't feel like being a man, so you can afford surgery, so they cut your male parts off, turn you into a model, you into a woman, and now you say you are a woman. The record that you are a man. Okay. Sorry, there was a power trip. Sorry for the breaking transmission for those online. The streaming computer tripped off a bit, so I had to sort it out. Welcome back again to Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Aben. I was almost on the news, the ending part of it, and I went off. All right, so quickly, we go to India, where it says, Pastor in India forced to flee his home after enduring merciless torture by police. Then the next quick one, 3,462 Christians murdered in Nigeria in 2021 is the biggest killing ground of Christians in the world. That's quite worrying. Then we have African pastor receives death threats after helping Christians flee from Fulani militants in Nigeria. Then terrorists are recruiting in Ghana. Kojo upon Nkrumah, Minister for Information. And he says, according to him, activities along the borders of Burkina and Ivory Coast are being heightened in recent time due to the killing of some civilians. Therefore, the government of Ghana is beefing up security along the country's borders to prevent any possible attacks. So our porous borders, that's a big problem. Speaking on Asasi Radio on Monday, 19th July, the minister explained, I'm sad to say that our security situation in West Africa is getting a bit more precarious and we are having to pay a lot more attention to it than before. Then in the Parliament of Ghana, we have this anti-LGBT bill. Corporates and sympathizers could face 10-year jail term. And this is the law, that's the bill that has been pushed by, I think, 8 MPs. It's been led by Sam George, MP for Ningo Pampram. And it's quite, I think the whole bill is about 36 pages or so. And trying to control this thing in the country. But what I keep asking myself is, if the threats come from the West, can they stand? Can they still continue? You know, when the West decides to brand them homophobic and blacklist them, will they still continue? So, well, let's hope and see. Only time will tell if this thing can become law in the land. All right, well, let's finish off with at least one good news, then we can wind up the news items. It can't be all that bad. At least some good things are happening. Justice prevailed. Christian street preacher wins case after being fined and prosecuted for evangelizing. This is in the UK. A court in London has ruled that a Christian street preacher who was fined and prosecuted by police for evangelizing during lockdown did not break regulations or do anything illegal. The London Magistrates Court ruled that Joshua Sutcliffe, 31, is not guilty as he was outside and that he had a reasonable excuse as he was traveling to his place of work as a worship leader, said Christian Legal Center, which supported the preacher. In a statement released on Friday, Sutcliffe was detained and surrounded by four police officers as he was preaching and handing out leaflets in North London's Camden area on Good Friday last April. He was told he was in breach of COVID-19 lockdown regulations by being outdoors without a reasonable excuse. Sutcliffe explained to the officers that he was a pastor and worship leader and was outdoors to provide charitable services. However, he was cautioned and received a fixed penalty notice of $80 or £60, according to Premier Christian News.
quote, whilst he was in the gathering and therefore in breach of Regulation 7. However, the parties were together and were allowed to rely on Articles 9 and 10 of the European Convention of Human Rights, unquote. The magistrate said in the ruling, their gathering was limited in duration and they were entitled to gather for street evangelizing. They treated me like a second-class citizen. Statfield was quoted in a statement as saying, I'm a Christian minister of the gospel, which not so long ago was a treasured and respected vocation in the UK. He added, during times of need, people need the hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I do on a regular basis. I go to the streets and proclaim the hope and truth of the resurrection of Christ. I was doing this on Good Friday, one of the most important days in the Christian calendar, to do this. The preacher said he was very glad the magistrates threw the case out and that reason and justice prevailed. Christians in the UK have been easy targets for the police during the pandemic, while other groups gathering in significant numbers have been favored by the police, said Andrea Williams, the chief executive of Christian Legal Center. All right, so the police were, you know, very biased in that instance, but at least he's had justice come his way. So, you know, people breach the laws and do all sorts of parties and things, and he goes out to preach on the streets and hands out tracts, and he's treated like a criminal. Such an unfair system. But you see, it's all the hatred against Christians, the godlessness that is increasing, and there's no fear of God. People, there's so much hatred for Christianity these days in some circles. It's amazing. You know, in Ghana, we are fortunate, so we are not seeing these things. But in the Western and elsewhere, it's not too easy for you to be a Christian in some areas, you know, to publicly declare your stance as a Christian. The abuse, the insult, the ridicule, and all that you are exposed to. But, you know, these are all the things the Bible promised us as believers. All right, so I'll be back after this short break.
I will follow Christ. my heart today. His word is like a flame, consuming all my shame. His life a shining star to show the way.
Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. For those online, there was a break in transmission. Sorry for the break. I believe you are okay now. Okay, so last week I started the digital parenting and I gave the introduction. I read some of the plans that they have for the world in terms of taking control, strategies to attack Christianity. I read the Alice Bailey write-up, the 10-point proposal, the charter. You know, and I read the aspects of entertainment, using entertainment and the media to, you know, affect, destroy the children and change their minds and all that. So today, I'm commencing with the aspect of music and the influence and the effects it can have, you know. I'm talking of the children, the teenagers, the youth, but even on us as adults, you know, the effect of negative music, evil music, bad music, you know. Let me start by reading this part in the Bible. We all know the story of King Saul and David. And let me read First Samuel 16:23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God, in this case, I mean, it's God allowed it. It's not that God, nothing bad, evil can come from God directly. No, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. The evil spirit departed from him. If instrumentation or instrumental piece by David on a harp could cause a demon, an evil spirit, to leave King Saul. This should define how powerful music is to the believer. You know, it's sad. I seriously feel so sad when I see Christians who see nothing wrong with secular music, the worldly type. I mean, those that defy, I mean, the words and the lyrics and the music videos associated with it, nothing is correct. And they don't see anything wrong. Their conscience, nothing pricks them. Seriously, for such Christians, I really doubt. I have a lot of questions in my mind. Because, I mean, you can't tell me you are spirit-filled and you are listening to these things and your conscience, nothing. The spirit doesn't prompt you. You don't feel uneasiness in you, in your spirit. Clearly, there's something wrong. So, for me, seriously, I believe that the songs you listen to a very large degree, defines your spiritual state. Oh, yeah. I mean, some may want to debate it and all, but, you see, let's draw the line. If you're a Christian, be a Christian in all manner of conversation. I mean, we just can't say we are Christians in aspects of our lives, but when it comes to some portions of our life, for that, no, God has no role there. We just can't play that game. So, you see, if we are a Christian, let's be a Christian across board. You can't say that you are a Christian regarding the things you watch, but the things you listen to, for that one, it doesn't matter. Or you are a Christian regarding going to church and not insulting people and not drinking at the beer bar and all that. So, it's okay, but for keeping filthy songs on your phone, that one doesn't matter. No. You see, last week, as I said, if you are a Christian, that defines you. That should define you. So if you are a Christian, you are a Christian, your whole being, you are a Christian. So the dress you wear is a Christian wearing a dress. The songs you sing, it's a Christian singing. Whatever you do, the work you do, if you're a teacher, it's a Christian teaching. If you're a driver, a Christian driving. If you're a shoemaker, a Christian shoemaker. You are not other things before a Christian. Your being now, you are a whole new, you're a new creature when you come to Christ. So that new creation in you is what defines who you are. You see, so we can't, I mean, claim that, there are some standards that we are Christians. So, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The all things, all, everything. Everything, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you dance, the songs you listen to, the things you watch, how you work, everything about you is new, must be new, must be redefined as a Christian. So, every aspect of our life should fall in line with that. How we raise our children. It shouldn't be like others. It should be as Christians should do it. Christian standard. So, talking of music tonight, clearly, we cannot say that we are Christians, and yet, for other things, we don't care, anything goes. You know, we shouldn't, because Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, we shouldn't go outside the boundaries given here. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. These are the boundaries for a Christian when it comes to music. Anything going beyond these boundaries of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you are running into a problem. Because if it doesn't fit into these categories, it's not worth listening to it as a believer. Oh yeah, I mean, many years back, perhaps 9 years or so ago, on this station, I forgot. I don't know who. I was driving, and then one mid morning we were playing a foreign foul or something, and a foreign foul, not something, foreign foul. Put it that way. And this preacher was saying that, yeah, I think yes, those times they mid morning they used to play one of these, not Derek Prince, but one of them. I've forgotten. And he was saying something to the effect that if you are coming to Christ, he was talking to the youth in particular in this case, and you are not ready to sing the so-called old school, the old songs that we are singing, then you are not ready to meet Christ. You are not ready to come to Christ, because you can't come to Christ based on your terms with your modern things and say that you can't come and sing hymns. You can't sing spiritual songs. You are too modern to be singing these things. Then you are not ready to meet Christ. You are not ready to come to Christ. You are not ready to walk in Christ, because this is the truth. You see, we should draw the line. We shouldn't confuse ourselves with what everyone is saying out there. It's what the Word of God says that should define who we are and how we do things, and we should stick to it. It doesn't matter whether it's old school or old whatever. We like it like that. If you can't sing the hymns as a Christian, then, I mean, come on. To me, hymns are some of the most powerful songs you can even, because the words alone, sometimes the words are sermons. The words are so powerful. You realize these people, Isaac Newton and all these people, they were anointed people. Some songs are 300 years, 400 years old, and now even you sing and it affects lives. The spirit in it is as powerful as it was when it was written many centuries ago. That tells you that, you see, there's power in those hymns. There's power in music. And as I cited the example of David and Saul, there's power in it. Let me read a second case study in the Bible, and then we'll proceed from there. This is also a popular one. Well, depends on, not too popular though, but, you know, Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 3, 14 to 15. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, in this case Elisha. The prophet needed the minstrel before he could prophesy. So you can imagine the spirit this minstrel operated with. Obviously, a demon possessed, I mean, person or song could have brought the presence of the Lord on Elisha. This clearly tells us the importance of what we listen to. If we truly want to walk in the spirit, if we allow worldly music into our lives, would the Lord move in us? You know, let's think about it. Prophet Elisha, I mean, he had to prophesy and he had to request for a minstrel to minister first before he prophesies. So it tells you that to trigger the spirit in him, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, he needed someone to open the way, a way maker. In this case, a minstrel. And it's common, I mean, in churches, at programs where someone sings before the preacher comes. You know, sometimes those who sing, there's no power, nothing. They are just coming to fill the time, 5 minute slots, okay, come and sing and go. But there are instances where people have sung and they've changed the atmosphere completely. They lay the foundation for the minister to come and minister, the preacher to come and minister. I've even heard of instances where the song that someone, the minstrel, sang before the preacher, it even influenced the sermon, changed the sermon was changed because the song, God used the song to change the whole thing for the preacher, to go along the line that the song, you see. So there's power in music and God uses it. And we all know who Satan was, Lucifer as Lucifer. We all know his role, how he was, and the power he had regarding the power, the music, I mean, the ministry he had in heaven and all. That power and influence was not taken from him. He still has it. You see, so he knows, you see, one of the biggest mistakes I believe sometimes we can make as believers is we downplay his intelligence. We downplay the intelligence of Satan and his agents. We downplay his abilities and his skills. And we think, yes, we are in Christ. Yes, we are in Christ. Yes, we have the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus to overcome him. But unless we apply these things and we are living right and all, forget it. See, and even if you are living right and all these things, you still don't underestimate your enemy. Especially when he is experienced in something and he has the skill still with him. And now, not only with him, he has numerous agents who are operating under his influence. You see, so these are the agents who are being used to influence society. And it will amaze you. I mean, I'll read some research works. These are scientific research works, academic papers and all. And these are not even coming from the Christian perspective. These are coming from normal social sciences and all the behavioral sciences and child behavior and all that. And some of the reports are serious. So let's even still talk about the Christian perspective. See, when you listen to a song that is demonic in nature, you cannot tell me that it will not influence you. It would influence you. Because if, let's just do a little logic here. David and then Elisha, the two cases I've read from the Bible. If David's song, instrumentals, could drive out a demon, let's revert the other way around. That means a demonic-inspired instrumentals can bring a demon into you. It can also likewise drive out something in you. If a good one can drive out a bad one, can't a bad one drive out a good one? Think about it. I mean, let's be logical here. I mean, if a good song, spirit-inspired song, can drive out an evil spirit, think about the reverse. If an evil spirit song is being played for you, what will it do to you? What would it do to you? It won't just, it's nothing like just vacuum, nothing happens. Just listen and then free, nothing happens. Communication happens in the spirit realm. Something happens. It will dampen you, it will affect you, it can cause you to, I mean, all sorts of things. I mean, I'll be reading some of the scientific papers and all. So, as believers and as parents and as adults, we should never downplay the power of music. You know, I've, for instance, right now, if I'm with my children in the car or at home or, and I'm to start playing all these funny worldly songs, the Shatawalis and the Stone Boys or whatever they call them, these people, within minutes, if not all the children, at least one of them will ask a question. Daddy, what are you listening to? You see, because they would know that, no, this is not the normal. I mean, they know that these songs are not good because I've taught them right from their infancy. So they know it. It's part of them. So if they hear it, it's like, they will say something. Why am I? They will ask. They will wonder what has happened today that their dad is listening to the song. Because this is not, I mean, how he... You see, they know. You see, because I have taught them. So now there's... It doesn't move them. Like, and I remember some time back, Pastor Roger was telling me his children, they went to a party, a gathering somewhere, and all the other children were dancing to these songs. And his children, they were just sitting down quietly. They didn't participate in it. He wasn't there. He left them and went. But they didn't go and dance when all the other children were dancing. Why? Because they know that these songs are not good. So they were not enticed. They were not moved. They were not tempted. They just don't like it. And as simple as that. So they've been trained that way that these songs are not good. You see, so how you start off with your children regarding these things makes it very positive for them. So they know. It's not something that you argue about. But the difficulty comes in, for instance, let's take a case study of a parent who, today you are listening to Shatawale, tomorrow you are listening to Daughters of Glory Jesus, the next day you are listening to Stoneboy, the other day, the next time you are listening to Elder Mreku, the next day you are listening to Daddy Lumba, then the next one you are listening to what, Oslo Gospel Choir. You know, virtually, you are here, you are there, you are here, like a keyboard, black, white, black, white, black, white. So, today you are in darkness, tomorrow you are in light. The next day you are in darkness, the next you are in white. I mean, we cannot be switching world from the world to the spirit, from the spirit to the world, on and off like that. We should stay in our lane. So, you see, if you have such a parent, the child is growing to see that anything goes. I mean, that's the environment you are creating for the child, that anything goes. So whatever you feel like, listen to it. Because the father is all over, like a radio station, a secular radio station, plays anything. So, you know, there's this neighbor. And once I was just joking, I told my wife that, hey, that's what this lady there. She's like a radio station. She'll be singing gospel one day here, singing gospel. Then within the next minute, she switches into, no. Like, the same mouth that was singing gospel a few minutes ago suddenly switches and then into another realm, into the hip-hop. And, you know, the hip life. And so, you see, that's exactly what we see when we go to programs, outdoor engagements, wedding receptions. They will start with gospel. I'm the prayer requiem gospel. It's like, oh, you think it's like the presence of God is landing like a dove immediately. And then sometimes that's the first two, the first, and then after the program or after, then it's like, hey, then they finish and then they serve God. And they're on their own. Then they start. Asabone. Then they start singing, dancing, filthy songs, then bad dancing. And it's so sad when even Christian programs, Christian weddings, Christian receptions, Christian parties, it happens. I mean, let the unbelievers do these things. Fine. I mean, I have no queries because the spirit in them, that's how it is. So it's not strange. But when supposed Christians see nothing wrong with it, so they will start a program. And sometimes, so I remember one, the pastor was saying, so it's like the pastors were there. So after then, it was like, oh, okay, they could just solve for no crime. So after the pastors went, then, Omoko, Abun Samuel, you are welcome. Then they started their thing. You know, it tells you that you wish you would do the worldly from the beginning, but because of the presence of the pastors, so because of them, you started with the gospel, so that no one can, so that they don't say that it's like you are backslided. So in their presence, so this one, your reverence is not to God, though. It's just you have, because of what men will say, what pastors will say, you'd go that way just to, you know, so that when they leave, free for all, then now you can go into the world. So clearly, it defines you that you are a worldly person pretending to be a Christian. That's the bottom line. So you are not a Christian. You are a worldly person. But you are pretending to be a Christian when you meet Christians. So that's why you force yourself to play gospel songs when pastors were around. So as soon as the pastors went, you played what you wanted. So truly, truly in your heart, you want to play the Shatawales and the Stone Boys and all those funny songs. But because of the presence of the men of God, you told the DJ, okay, you play the gospel ones. You see, and so this lifestyle is common. It's prevalent in Christian circles. A lot of Christian programs, you go, Christian parties, not, I don't mean church programs, but Christian gatherings, parties, outdoorings, engagements, and they will start with, and then sometimes they say, oh, it's not us, oh, it's the DJ. I mean, come on, that's what that excuse, don't say. I remember when my mom's funeral, 20 years ago, yeah, it's exactly 2001. And at our hometown, the Eastern region, as soon as they started setting up the things. I went straight to the DJ media. This nonsense. Not something which I'm fully involved. No. I told that the DJ that they've hired there. You know those town DJs. You know, they want to flex when they see people have come from Accra and things. They to village champion. So I told him that not even 1 minute of any secular song or world, nothing, not even one. Only from beginning to the end, gospel throughout. I mean, clear instruction. We are paying you for this. So it's what we want that you play for us. As simple as that. And that is it. You see, so if you tell me you're a Christian and you are doing a program and then the DJ start playing what they want to play, so-called what they want to play, and you put the blame on them, why didn't you instruct them, or even when you heard it, why didn't you ask them to stop it and play the gospel songs? You see, so just to let you understand how we should stick to our ground when it comes to what we believe in and what we stand for. Because the influence of music is so powerful. And let me read the first research work. For those who will be sending messages, please, you can start sending it. Because sometimes, by the time the messages come, sometimes I've left the studio, I'm at home and all that. So, 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. SMS and... WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me read this one. It says, sexually explicit lyrics and their influence on teenagers. Children and teenagers throughout history have always enjoyed listening to music. Rap, heavy metal, rock, hip-hop, like his hip life and all that. They listen to music while driving their cars, while walking from class to class, while studying or doing homework, even whilst hanging out with friends. Most of the music they listen to, especially rap and heavy metal, have lyrics that repeatedly reference sex, violence, and drugs. Repeatedly listening to such lyrics has negative effects on adolescents, including early sex, violent behavior, and use of drugs. Nicki Minaj, for example, the most successful female rapper of all time, is notorious for using vulgar and sexually explicit lyrics in her songs. One of her songs is, it's filthy word, so I'll just skip it, which she begins by singing, "I get it cracking like a bad back, blah, 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 talking like a queen when she's looking like a lab rat." She repeats the line, "You..." and then dot, 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 and all that. And then she goes on to say that in one of their songs, they sing, "I am a big man, yes, I am, and having a big gun, and then got a big hole," and all that. You see, if the same thing is happening in Ghana, let me pause. They sing songs, and the lyrics, you can clearly interpret that they are referring to sex. But when I've heard interviews and, that's not what they are talking about. You see, and they are also not bold to defend it. So they always want to run away from it. It's not sex that they are talking about. It's just, they try to be all sort of funny, flimsy reasons and all for the words. But any discerning listening person knows that this whole description of this song is sex that you are talking about. You see? And that's the reality. You see, so in a word, they put the words in a way, they rhyme it in a way, they mix it in a way that it covers up. But the mind will interpret it. You see, the human mind is so powerful. We shouldn't underestimate how our mind works. If you, the adult, you can interpret it to understand that this is referring to sex, how else do you think that the younger ones will listen and they will not understand? Especially in this current generation where if you downplay their intelligence, you'll be shocked. You see, so the message in the song is obvious. Promoting it, talking about it, giving narrations about it and all that. But in all this, we shouldn't forget that a seed is being sown in the mind, the subconscious mind. Let me listen, go on. Although kids love listening to music that refers to sex, violence, and drugs, studies show that listening to such music is bad for them. According to Dr. Michael Rich, director for Center on Media and Child Health at Children's Hospital in Boston, stated, quote, "When we look at the research, it indicates that kids who listen to a lot of music, who watch a lot of music videos, actually are at an increased risk for violent behavior, for substance abuse, for risky behavior, or risky sexual behavior." And clearly, that's worrying. That's worrying. There's one research paper that is was written by Lupu and then Alexandra. It says, quote, "Teenagers listening to vulgar music have sex earlier," unquote. Teenagers who listen to vulgar music have sex earlier. Listening to vulgar music have sex earlier. And this was, they wrote this paper in 2014. And it's New York Times. "Study links vulgar lyrics to early sex by teenagers." And then America's International Herald Tribune, the New York Times, and all, they carried it. You see, so this is just to give you an understanding of some of these things. This is just one research. I'll read other ones as well. So the child or the teenager, so if even teenagers have early sex because of the songs they are influenced, they are listening to, they're exposed to, how much more if a child starts listening to it from childhood? I remember some years back, I was taking my child to school, and then he was the only one. And there was this other parent who was, I think he was an uncle. The direct parent. And they feel the songs, boom, 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 and these filthy songs. And this girl was in the car, little girl, then. Seriously, that day I was worried that, hey, if every morning this uncle will come and drop this little girl with this type of songs in the car, then what is this girl going to grow up to be? So, the songs this child is exposed to at that early age, it's just obvious that if nothing stops it, like, it continues. And most likely, that means in such a house, the same thing will continue in the house. Such filthy music videos will be playing, and the child will be exposed to them, will be watching them. You see? So, clearly, the child, I hope some of you have seen videos or kids who are dancing, this filthy dancing, and they are shaking their hips and all that, and people are praising them, giving them fans and all at parties and things. You see, where did the child see such a dance from? Little children, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and they are, and people, adults are clapping on and cheering them on. They are dancing and they are, you know, all these filthy dancing styles and all. And adults are happy. You see, so you look at such a thing and you ask yourself, where did this child see all this type of dancing? Where did the child get the skills from? Obviously, the child just didn't wake up and then suddenly knew how to do those type of dancing. Clearly, she saw it somewhere, on the TV most likely, or someone dancing that way and then copied. But most likely, see, it's more of what they see, the music videos, because they pick more information. They see the mind, they're able to grasp things more from that avenue. And this is a real thing. It's happening. So how early the child, the teenager, the adolescent gets exposed to these filthy lyrics, obviously it translates into the time they start having sex. And you see, our songs, a lot of these hip life songs we have in Ghana, I don't have any statistics, but I dare say that a whole lot of them are sex related. In one way or the other, they are talking about a lady, it's about sex. It's, you know, if not sex directly, it's about, you know, making moves and all this. The songs, the lyrics are virtually not anything to talk about. And you see, you have Christian homes, TVs are on, and these music videos are going on. and the children are watching them. See, that's what, one of the dangerous things is, oh, in between programming. So, you are watching the news and you are waiting to watch another thing. So, in between, then they drop this music video, 5 minutes or 4 minutes or 6 minutes. But, you see, those 6 minutes or those 5 minutes of filthy music, almost semi-nude dancing girls or ladies shaking their waist and all, those 4, 3, 5 minutes that this child is exposed to this thing, it's getting into the subconscious mind. I mean, so the child doesn't need a long 6 hour music video to watch before it starts affecting them. A little seed at a time. So it's like the seed is being sown, and then as they watch, they keep seeing them anytime, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes. It's like you plant something and then you keep watering them. So as you pour water, the seed is growing, it germinates, it starts sprouting, it moves, growing, growing, growing. That's exactly how the music system works. So you expose the child to, one, the first music video, the seed is sown in the subconscious mind. If it's a demonic one, of course, we are talking as Christians, so we should understand how these things can influence the person. As I cited the example of David and Saul. So, the first one is watched. Then another time, another music video. As the child watches it, you are pouring water on that seed that was sown the first video the child saw. Then the next time he watches, more water is being poured. And more water. More water. So that seed is growing. Eventually, it's no longer a seed. It becomes a plant. It will grow and grow and grow, and it will become a tree. And then you would have teenagers. You have 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds having sex. I saw reports, younger children, 5, 6, attempting to have sex and all. You see, where did they see it from? They saw it somewhere. Today, I'm not talking about movies. Today is strictly on just the music. Because the music videos, some are virtually explicit. And they are on our TV screens. You know, as for, you see, if you're a parent and you are hoping and trusting that our regulatory authorities in the media
space will regulate and control what is being shown to protect your children, then you are in a dreamland. Because, see, if we are really monitoring the things on our screens, a whole lot of things should not be on the screens in the first place. But you know our systems. You know we are in the country. You know our systems don't work in many instances. So these things are happening. I mean, know who regulates. The regulatory authority will say that they don't have enough funds to monitor all the stations. I've heard them say something like that before. So there are things showing on our screens. I mean, a few weeks ago, I was at the barbering shop around 2:30 in the afternoon. And the things being shown on the TV at that time. So even the barber was also complaining that. So if at this time they are showing these things, when children would have closed from school and would be at home and all that, you see, it's wrong. It's clearly, but who is going to stop them? There is a clear mandated institution in the country being paid, with their workers being paid to ensure these things are done. But we all know the system, it doesn't work. So they are on the things are on the screens, and the children are being exposed to these things. So you see, as parents, we have a whole lot of work to do. Let me read another research paper. This one is Science Daily. Then the title is Songs About Sex, How They Affect Kids. The study questions the impact of sexualized lyrics on adolescent behaviors and attitudes. And though the research is adolescents, I believe it still works even below those in adolescent age, the children. Because once if it influences an adolescent negatively, of course, the same will happen to the child, if not even worse. So this is dated September 6, 2011. And the source is Springer Science and Business Media. summary is, do sexualized lyrics in popular music have an impact on the sexual behavior and attitudes of adolescents? Researchers recently took a look at the trend of increasing use of sexually explicit lyrics in music. Their findings provide food for thought for educators whose focus is to promote healthy sexual development. And indeed, this is also a worrying trend because a lot of sexualization is the world states, you see, our media now, not only Ghana, but the world itself, is virtually sexualizing everything. I mean, sometimes you see things and you ask yourself, so I'll read the details, but just to comment on this issue of sexualization of lyrics, it's as if, you know, I had this marketing book, and there was one chapter that talked about the fact that sex sells. So not that like sex in terms of like prostitutes or, but in terms of how sexualized adverts sells. You see, so that's why you would see a car advert for Ghana. It still happens a few such where you see a car advert and a bikini clad lady is standing beside it. I mean, your mind is it a car that you are advertising or is the body that you are advertising? Which one? But you see, psychologically, they know it works that way. So tie the two together and then you get people to look at it. As the men, of course, are the problem in this case. You see, and the world knows this. The marketers know this. The psychologists know this. So those who are well endowed in targeted marketing are using this as an advantage to them. And that's it's happening. So the lyrics of these songs, the ones that are sexualized and all, are getting people to like it more. They are getting more views because the more filthy a music video is, the more the guys are watching it. You see, so we have a very problematic society now where the singer and their dancers and all, they are just looking for their money. So whatever way they will get the money, they are out to get it. But you have to protect your child. You have to protect yourself. And so let me continue read the write-up. So it starts by saying, their findings were published in the Springer's Journal, Sexuality and Culture. And this was written by Cougar Hall, Joshua H. West, and Shane Hill from Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, in the USA. And take a look at the trend of the increasing use of sexually explicit lyrics in music. So Cougar Hall explained, quote, considering previous research establishing an association between sexualized music lyrics and adolescent sexual behavior, our findings unfortunately offer sexuality educators a stormy forecast, unquote. In other words, giving a warning shot that the results are not good. The amount of music that 18 to 18-year-olds listen to has increased by 45% in recent years, rising dramatically with the popularity of MP3 players such as iPods. Previous research has indicated that there is a strong link between exposure to sexual media, that's on screen and in music, and sexual activity, like the one I read before, the previous research work I read except. Teens tend to overestimate the sexual activity of their peers, and one source of this misperception is the entertainment media. In this study, the researchers analyzed the lyrics from the top 100 songs in the Billboard Hot 100 year-end most popular songs every decade from 1959 to 2009. They found that male and non-white artists were more likely to write songs with sexual lyrics in the past two decades, and that there were more sexual references overall in 2009 than in 1959. It tells you how the world is getting spoilt by the year, by the decades, you know. So in 1959, the lyrics of song compared to 2009, the difference was clear. The authors point out that not all sexual references are equal and degrading, and sexualized songs can have a deleterious effect on teenagers. For girls in particular, this can lead them to judge their personal worth on a sexual level only, leading to poor body image, depression, eating disorders, and substance abuse. The authors advise that their findings raise serious concerns related to the promotion of unhealthy sexual messages in music. They conclude, popular music can teach young men to be sexually aggressive and treat women as objects, whilst often teaching young women that their value to society is to provide sexual pleasure for others. It is essential for society that sex education providers are aware of these issues and their impact on adolescent sexual behavior. And then the journal reference P. Cougar Hall, Joshua H. West, and then implications and all that. So it's in Sexuality and Culture 2011. That's their research. So this is an abstract of their research. You know, with this sexualization thing referred to, this week, the Olympic Games, Norway, there's a handball team. They were being fined for wearing the wrong dress. When I saw the news, I thought, okay, so that means they wore something rather off. That was bad. And they were being fined for it. I started reading and I realized the standard code should rather be bikini. And they want to dress decently by wearing shorts. So they are being fined that they should expose themselves and wear bikini. Failure to do that, they were being fined. And my wife too was commenting on the news. She also saw it because common sense will tell you that which is the right way to dress to play a sport. You see, and the athletes, the sportsmen, the Norwegians, they have the view that why should guys wear shorts and they ladies should expose themselves and wear bikinis to play the same sport? But see, it all fits into the sexualization agenda I'm talking about, because they have sexualized these things. They want the ladies to expose themselves, to draw marketing, to draw advertising for money. You see, the world is so perverted and perverse to the point where it's like women are being seen only as sex images, sex idols, sex... So that is what... Even in the Olympic Games, it's happening. When the men are running 100 meters, look at the slacks they wear. They wear this slacks, tie slacks, or whatever they call it, up to their knee level or just above the knee. Why can't the women also wear that? But for the women, no, wear bikini type so that you expose your, you show more flesh. You see, this is how the world thinks now. You see, and these are the things they push into music videos, the lyrics, it's all about this, the woman. The descriptions are mostly about, you know, and see the statistics, the research that I read, Black American songs, African songs, and all, are more likely to write about these sexualized lyrics than the whites. You see, there's something wrong. The Black American musicians, and you see, most of them are sports, they didn't. You know, fatherless homes, they were raised up without fathers, so no training, no upbringing, street child, then, you know, gangster, then becomes a musician, gets a promoter, then, you know, gets on, hits a big one, and then does it, boom, he makes money. And see, because of their lifestyle, the Black American boys, having girls, sleeping, pregnancy, teenagers, so they translate that lifestyle into the music. And that's exactly the reflection of their life there in America. It's very, very worrying. See, so their lifestyle is what gets into the music, the drug lives, the gangster life, the killings, you know, the abortion, the rapes, and all, the prison life. So these are the things that described the gang, the black American music, and musicians are copying this type of this sex thing in their music as well. So when you expose yourself to these things, it's influencing you. When you expose your children to it, these are scientific, research works that confirm that it affects the mindset of the child, the teenager, or the adolescent, and all. We can't run away from these facts because it's obvious. You don't need to be told these things. It's a fact that these things will happen. Let me read this one from American Psychological Association. This is a brief, an abstract of a paper again. Violent song lyrics may lead to violent behavior. This was written July, August 2003, volume 34, number 7. Let me read. There's the abstract. It says that violent song lyrics increase negative emotions and thoughts that can lead to aggression, according to a study published in the May issue of the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, volume 85, number 5. The study challenges the ancient Greek catharsis hypothesis that claims that expressing aggressive emotion will later decrease aggressive behavior. Instead, researchers from Iowa State University and Texas Department of Human Sciences found that aggressive music lyrics increase aggressive thoughts and feelings, which might perpetuate aggressive behavior and have long-term effects, such as influencing listeners' perceptions of society, contributing to the development of aggressive personalities. This study provides the first clean demonstration of violent lyrics effects, says lead author Craig Anderson, PhD, of Iowa State University. In 5 experiments, Anderson and his colleagues asked more than 500 college students to listen to such violent songs as Shoot Them Up by Cypress Hill and Hit Them Hard by Run DMC, and such non-violent songs such as Finger Licking Good by Beastie Boys and Love Versus Loneliness by Suicidal Tendencies. Suicidal Tendencies. Researchers also included the lyrics of humorous, violent, and non-violent songs like A Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash and Hello Muda, Hello Fadu by Alan Sherman. After listening to the songs, the students performed various word association tasks to test whether they linked more non-aggressive words with aggressive words or failed incomplete words with vowels to make aggressive words. They also reported their feelings of hostility as measured by the state's hostility scale, ranking sentences based on their emotions after hearing the songs. The results indicate a relationship between violent song lyrics and increased aggressive thoughts and feelings of hostility. Humorous violent songs also increase aggression levels relative to humorous non-violent songs, according to Anderson. The findings held even after the researchers controlled the listeners' gender and personality differences, as well as their reactions to the different performing artists and musical styles. Whilst more research on effects of violent lyrics must be done, says Anderson, yet another type of entertainment media, when referring to violence, now has been demonstrated to have some negative effects, unquote. These are scientific papers, research papers, PhD level and all that. These are not spiritual assignments or projects or research works. These are scientific papers. You see, so if even the social scientists, psychologists are making conclusions to these facts that music has an influence, a negative influence on the child, the lyrics, then obviously, as Christians, we shouldn't even argue about it at all. Because it's a done deal for us. We know that, perversion in these songs are all demonic inspired. So we shouldn't even question it in any way. But it's unfortunate that you would have Christians who would argue, we are being too spiritual, you are being too this, you are being too strict, you are being too this and that and that. You know, when you sow the wrong seed in the life of your child, or you allow the wrong seed to be sown in the life of your child, you will be the one who will reap the bad fruit that will come from it. This week I was listening to Derek Prince, and he made an interesting statement that there are no like bad children as they are, as we call it, but we have parents who allow children to be bad. So you see, when you see a bad child, you are pointing to a bad parent, because it's bad parenting that breeds a bad child. And this is biblical. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. I mean, it's as clear as that. See, so if you allow your child to be exposed to these things, see, a child that is well taught about the dangers of this worldly music, the filthiness, the filthy ones, and all these things, if he understands it, even when he's alone, he will not be tempted. Like the example I gave of Pastor Roger's children at the family party in Accra, a gathering in Accra. You see, because the child knows that this is wrong. The child knows that this is no good. You see, so when you infuse the child with the right principles, and you yourself, the adult, you are living by it, you create the right atmosphere in your environment. Because, you see, we are dealing with spiritual things. As human beings, we are spirit beings just living in the body. We shouldn't be deceived that our body is the real us. No, we are spirit beings first and foremost in the body. And music operates at the frequency, at the spirit level. If you don't know. I mean, you see, music has a frequency. In this case, not talking of just the physical, like scientific frequency, as we are talking of like the 44,000 hertz or no. But spiritually, there is a spirit behind it. So in the case of David and Saul, you can imagine, try to picture David playing the harp and an angel standing beside him. Saul having a demon, torturing and worrying him. And now he starts hearing the lyrics, the instrumentals, the harp, the strings. And as it goes into him, the demon feels uncomfortable and moves out. It tells you that it wasn't just the do re mi fa so la ti do that Saul was just hearing. There was something, a power behind those lyrics, the strings that he was hearing. So it wasn't the do re mi fa so that kicked out the demon from Saul. It was the power behind the lyrics, the strings, worked. So there was power behind the instrumentals that David was playing. It wasn't just music, physical music that you are hearing over the years. There was power behind it. And that was behind the scenes, which the eye would not see. Something was happening. So there was a warfare in the spiritual realm. But to the ordinary person, King Saul is on the throne. David is sitting in the corner somewhere and just playing. But if God is to open your eye to see in the spiritual realm, you realize something was happening. It wasn't just music moving through the waves, airwaves in the room. This is how serious it is that we should not joke with it. Unfortunately, I couldn't finish today because it's quite loaded, so I would just have to end here. And let me read this message. Yes, I also have a message from Brother Yao to us. This is Brother Yao Redu, extending my godly greetings to all listeners of this program, Issues of Life. I'm great by the grace of God, by the grace and doing as the Lord requires of me in ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ brought me to be on this program, Issues of Life, for a time and a purpose. And by grace, I have fulfilled that time and purpose. Brother Eben and I, we are always in touch with each other. I'm currently doing other assignments on radio elsewhere. So if you still want to follow my assignment, that's Brother Yao Redu, you can WhatsApp or call me on 020-4200-444. 020-4200-444. May Christ Jesus continue to use this program, Issues of Life, through my brother's senior brother, okay, Ben, to be a blessing to all listeners. Shalom from Brother Yao Oredu Yeboa. All right, greetings to him. This one, Francis Kumasi says, most Christians have not realized the power of music in the realms of the spirit. It's a spiritual vehicle and can speed up the move of the spirit, that's holy or evil, depending on which type is being sung. I have a personal testimony, Brother Eben. A song a brother lifted before saying the closing prayer after a usual group Bible study got me electrified in the spirit, and that's how I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, that's interesting. It was a normal Bible study, and we were closing, but that song, I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart, did something strange in me, and I still can't explain how, but that's the power of music. Oh, thank you, Francis, for this lovely, lovely testimony. Yeah, that's the power of music. Indeed, you know, there's a lot we are missing when we downplay the dangers of negative music in our lives. Well, our time is far spent, it's gone, and I'll be back, God willing, next week. I'll upload this on spiritissues.info and then the Telegram group, the Spirit Issues. You can search for it, and Spirit Issues, you can get the info there as well. I'll upload it there. So for the website, it's spiritissues.info. This is Eben, and I believe you have learned something tonight, and the dangers and the consequences, the side effects and all. There's more to talk about these things. Cordially, next week we'll continue on this all-important series for improving our Christian lives and to, you know that the devil is waging war from all angles and we are not ignorant of his devices. Thank you and God bless you.